From Tritank Experimental Laboratory, this is the Tritank Podcast, where we talk about all things related to innovation in the church. I'm Father Lorenz Labrija. Thank you for joining us. And welcome to the podcast, everyone. Father Lorenz Labrija here with you. Today, episode 014, episode 14 on the resilience toolkit, on resilience. So we've heard about the number of young clergy, particularly, who are stepping away from ministry after being burnt out a few years into their ministry. And in the last episode, we spoke with the same guest that we'll be talking with today. There's actually been a period of time between our recordings, actually. And we talked about the experiment that we did in that, the Being With Clergy experiment, which seemed to be successful in the sense that the people who were in it, even though they had begun with feelings of wanting to step away from ministry, all of the ones who are in that ministry or went through the program are still in their ministries. They and as you'll hear today, one of them even named this program, this experiment, as having been the reason why they remained in the ministry. Well, so we will be talking a little bit about the resilience toolkit that dioceses and others can use so that they can put together a Being With program for clergy. It's a kind of a vulnerable program in the sense that we also talk a little bit about the realities of ministry and how difficult it is. If you're not an ordained person and in active ministry, you're about to get a good insight as to what that is. And we talk about, you know, the pain of it. And we even come up with a person imagining what they might be going through and what are some of the things that they could do if they are in that place right now. So Reverend Mo Letterman and Reverend Rachel Field are the guests. If you want to, this is sort of like part two. So if you want to go back and hear part one, that might give you a lot more insight. That was episode 013, episode 13. I don't know why I begin with zero. I don't just say episode 14 or episode 13. So there's an idea in here about perhaps doing a hotline to help people that are on sort of at the end of their ministerial rope. And there's even a bit of advice at the end, even if you think, no, this is it. This is the right thing for me to do is to walk away. And I should mention that also joining us on the podcast is Frodo. It's the first time that we have a furry companion join us on the show as well. I hope you like it. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you take advantage of it. Rachel Mo, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having us again. Yeah.
So to recap for those that, even though in the introduction I just said that they should go back and listen to the podcast before this, to recap for those that are like, no, I want to hear this now. I want to talk about this resilience toolkit. Let's talk a little bit about what we sort of a quick recap, if you will, of what we talked about in the last podcast about both the experiment, what we did, and what the results were.
Sure.
Let's take that one. And actually, at first, say, this is Mo, or this, I can see you, but those who are listening cannot. So,
yeah,
it's just so that they can recognize your voices for a little bit.
All right. This is Mo. Essentially, well done. Hello. we spent about 10 months starting with 12 clergy who covenanted to meet about once a month and to go through the Being With program. And Being With comes out of England. I think it was post-pandemic kind of thing to help people.
It was created during the pandemic. Yeah, we have a great episode on that one too, for anyone who wants to get more on that.
And so it was we're finding that a lot of clergy were burning out, and I think that was accelerated by the pandemic. And so just giving people a chance, especially newly ordained clergy, a chance to connect with each other and connect with God, so to create godly community with each other, was sort of where we led this experiment to take care of at least one of the issues leading to that kind of burnout that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think that's a good mention again, that this was particularly aimed, not saying that this is exclusively that only people who are within the first 5 years or their ordination and under 40 can burn out, but rather to say that we were seeing a larger than normal number of people within that category who were burning out early, who were just sort of stepping away from ministry. I keep hearing about it to this day of people that are just completely stepping away from ministry. And the end result of the experiment was a success. We deemed it a success. Not everybody made it to the end, as happens with experiments, just because life, you know, for lack of a, I remember when I was in, before going into ministry, I was in arts management. And there was always this thing is like 15% of people, even though they pay it $150 for a classical music ticket, will still not show up. It's not that they don't want to show up. It's just that life happens. It could be anything from traffic to the babysitter didn't show up. Understandably, not everybody makes it to the end of an experiment when we do these sorts of things. But for those who did, and they had inclinations while they were beginning and through it, that they might want to leave the ministry, it ended up being that they did not. That at least during this time, they found again their spark. They found again their willingness to continue with this, which is great. So, and because of the experiment, though, we decided that how do we share these results more widely? Yeah. And practically speaking, how do we share some of the things that we learned, some of the things that others could do? And so it was your all's great idea to create a toolkit that goes along with this. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
So we put together just a little toolkit that kind of summarizes why we did this. Primarily, you know, to talk about that young clergy, especially when they're hitting part-time positions, are often isolated and lonely. And they feel like they're doing a million other things rather than being spiritual leaders. People aren't getting traditional curacies anymore, so they're kind of sent out on their own. And that can exacerbate a lot of that isolation. And so
it's okay.
A little friend it's come to visit right. us.
when you all are in rural Vermont and Connecticut, so it's okay. You know, I and actually, I've got to let you all know this is, I think, the first time that we've had a doggy guest on our podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Doggy guests are amazing. You know, this is one, I think, speaking of burning out or not burning out or dealing with stress, I think one of the best things that I have is our little dog, Lulu, who just comes and lays with me. And she's not asking of me. She's not pushing me. She's not asking about budgets. She's not doing any of that. Little Lulu is just like, I love you just the way you are. It's probably the closest reminder I have of God's love when I get home and I'm like, I just want to. So I'm glad that we finally have had our first puppy guest on the show. So there we go.
this is Rachel. I will tell Frodo. He'll be very.
So now I've got to mention Frodo at the beginning of the, again, in the introductions and thank him for that. So,
And I'll just jump in.
Please do.
Thinking about the toolkit, really what we're going for is, what you'll notice is it's not a very prescriptive kind of thing, because you're acknowledging that different ways of gathering are going to be impactful in different locations and for different people. So this is not a one size fits all. But what we can say is that the things that we're noticing are that people do better when they're connected, that people do better when they're connected with people in their similar demographic often. So this one, age, is the one we're talking about. Also that a lot of times it's helpful to have the connections happen without diocesan presence.
Mm-hmm.
It could be hosted. Mm-hmm. The program could be, you know, the admin could be done by the diocese, but it changes the conversation when it's really a focus about spiritual wealth and health and spiritual, I guess, health. Spiritual wealth is a kind of health, I guess.
Absolutely.
But it changes the conversation that way. And we've been getting responses trickling in since our last episode that we recorded together. And we did have one person say outright that this was the thing that kept them from leaving ministry in the last year.
Oh, check that out. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a big deal. So, so the toolkit offers some guidelines for different areas and different dioceses for how they might approach something like this. But the real part of it, the real meat of it, is any program that you can support that starts from a let's talk as people of faith, meeting mm-hmm. other people of faith as human beings with that vulnerability component, not as a we're going to teach you how to do priest, because then that flows out of it. So we also threw together an online platform on Discord where young clergy can come together and just ask questions and chat. I've already thrown out some questions because Transfiguration Sunday happened and I couldn't find a sermon in my head anywhere. So I was just like, help. Just like, so that's like that stuff, those nuts and bolts, they will come. It's mm-hmm. the connection that is the vital part. And that's why I think the Being With program, running that, you know, from one person who's a clergy person now speaking directly to people on diocesan staff who might be listening, like go for a program like that. We couldn't recommend it more.
You know, what's interesting is I think I'm a little bit amazed by this. So I'm about to say something that's probably very controversial. Jesus was a smart fellow. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus was pretty smart. And when he sent out people, he sent them out two by two. Mm-hmm. So I continue to be amazed as to how we think that ministry can be one person out there without us figuring out how do we still make it so that it feels that that person is not alone. How do we, and with all the other concerns that bishops and other diocesan staff have, diocesan staffs themselves are being cut. You know, the reality is that one priest has multiple congregations. I've been filling in for a friend of mine here in Los Angeles, and I go to one of his congregations that literally has the service, and he's got to run right after the service. So to them, he's more than just like a supply priest. Like there's no pastoral care. There's no, and it's, and I'm just always wondering, there's got to be a way for us to still be able to create of this sense of I'm not alone in this, even though I may have only one, and I recognize the financial realities. Don't get me wrong, but there still has to be a way that we can team people. And I think, again, I am a huge fan of the Being With program. From the moment that I discovered it from the UK, I've been a proponent of bringing it here to the US. We have supported them making the videos so that people can be trained more easily. So this toolkit really is about how do we incorporate, in fact, it's on the title, right? Incorporating Being With into a recently ordained clergy group. But I would also say that this can also be a great experience for those who've been ordained 20, 30, 40 years. Well, maybe 40 years, that they might be looking at retirement next week. But, you know, if you've been, even if you've been ordained for a while,
I like to be with Jesus. So, you know,
exactly. No, I get that. They might feel lonely too, right? No, but that it's still an opportunity. I could imagine that if someone's been ordained 20 years, you don't have the same ideas, the same spark as you did on day one. That's just human nature, right? That's not going to be. But something like this can remind you of that spark when you said yes, that it can bring you back, that God is still working actively in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple things that we actually got the chance to speak with James Fawcett from you know, the Being With program in between since our last podcast. And one, we mentioned that there were no traditional or very few traditional curacies sort of left. Those were disappearing. I mean, the shock on his face that we were sending people out without that, without that two by two, without that extra kind of support. And that, you know, we really, really need that to continue to get along. So just to acknowledge that, yeah, two by two, it is. That's why Rachel and I hang out together. So
and don't forget Frodo. Frodo's around
and,
too.
And Frodo.
Yes. Frodo's always there.
So there's three of you there. So in the show notes, we'll put a link so that people can get access to what you created in this resiliency toolkit. But let's talk about resiliency, even if it's just someone right now who's listening to us. And I feel that we should talk about this, that may not have an opportunity to start right away with a Being With program, or the next Being With program starts let's just say that it's someone who's sitting in their car. I'm like vividly imagining someone just driving down the road in their like little pickup. I don't know why it's a pickup, but that's what I'm imagining. And they're just like, I'm at my wit's end. They have, this ministry thing is asking more of me than what I can give, is asking more of me than what I ever thought God would ask of me. Mm-hmm. It, now that you've been in this space and you've been with those who are recently ordained, who are going through this, what would you say, just as other priests, as other people of faith, what would you say to that person in that car?
I mean, I think for me, the first is hopefully to find a colleague that you like, someone that you really connect with and care about, even if it's, you know, not necessarily someone the same age, but finding that person to talk to regularly and to pray with in some way, shape, or form can be transformative. I mean, I think for me, the Being With program particularly addressed the loneliness issue and the feeling of shouldering that burden alone. And if you don't have a program, I mean, diocesan programs at least usually have some kind of recently ordained thing. It can look very different. And it can, I'm sure, be something that really connects people or doesn't really connect people. But if that's not what's speaking to you, even if you can find one or two of those people to reach out and start to have intimate and real conversations with where you're at, I think that can be a good place for people to start. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, something very similar comes up for me, Mel. First is, just really sitting with the image you brought up, Lorenzo, of a person in a car alone. I would say call a helpline. Like if you're number one, if you're in a such an alone spot that you need someone right there, just call a helpline. I've done it. I did it this time last year. It was a rough year. And it's just to have someone who's outside of the system to talk to you, I think is so important. The other thing, and I know every diocese is different, and some of the feedback we're getting is that some of our diocesan structures are actively unhelpful. And that's hard. So I wonder, this is maybe something for you, Lorenzo, is if there could be an Episcopal, an Episcopal Church hotline so that someone in that position could call in and get matched with an Episcopal priest who's trained to be a coach. So that's not just calling an older priest who's going to tell you what to do, but to call someone who's going to say, oh, wow, I see where you are. How is that? Or I see where you are. Let me walk with you. That could be a beautiful thing. I'm lucky to have that in my spiritual director. And the last thing that's coming up for me is, because I think it can be sort of a, this is where Rachel gets herself in trouble again on a podcast. I think it can be sort of a trap to say, just do a lot of self-care. Because for me, especially sitting in the beginning of Lent, it's this memory that we are all moving in systems and through places that are not designed for our health. I said this last time, and it just really comes through with me in Lent. Like, we are living in a fallen world. It is beautiful, and it is wonderful, and it is fallen. So on one level, I think, at least in my experience, a lot of that first 5 years of isolation was me really learning that the church that I thought I was going to be a part of, that would, want to take care of me and want to be my best friend, and I got all the church pension group pamphlets and seminary, and this will be amazing, was not the church that I found as I started mucking about. And I had grown up in the church. I've been on vestries before, but it was still different. So just to really share that and to say, you are not alone in that. It's not just you. We are all doing the best we can in a broken world. And that to me comes from a place of prayer and a place of being that means Jesus has got this. And I just, that's the best I can do sometimes. So I think it's a number of layers.
I totally agree on that. And I would imagine that this person in the car, that hearing that they're not alone, because there's gotta be, I'm a priest, right? And there are times when I think, well, that should have gone better. more people should have shown up, and I don't know if it's imposter syndrome or just a sense of did I just fail these people? Did I just 20 people showed up, or whatever it was when we had sent out somebody, you've been working on it for a year, whatever it is, or you're just tired. This friend of mine that I've been filling in for lives a county and a half away and comes in to serve two churches. It's like, that's just, and it's Los Angeles traffic. So this is, we're talking, probably distance wise, it's only like 30 miles, but it's probably like 2 hours each way. It is, it goes to the point, Rachel, our systems, not only are they not set up in a way that I think help us, but I think now as the, and someone needs to call it the crisis of the church that we're going through, right? It is a crisis. As we've entered this space of fewer and fewer resources, people just seem to be panicking and if I just work harder, it'll work out and all those is. And so to, I think, give permission to people to just say like, okay, take a breath. God is with you. Journal. If you don't have anyone to talk to right then and there, just sit there. Use the Psalms as a resource. And I will admit that that's difficult for me to say because I'm not the biggest fan of the Psalms. You know, there are some parts of the Psalms that are just not, but I've been exploring with them because they're just also the most human. And when you realize that that was sort of Jesus's prayer book, it's sort of like, well, if he used it, maybe it's not so bad for me to be able to use it as well. Maybe I need to just spend a little more time with it. And so it's, And I certainly hope, I don't know what you all experiences, your alls. Is that a word? Your alls? What your alls experiences with your dioceses. But the bishop that ordained me, it was very clear. He said to me, he said, you must always be in therapy because everyone's handing you their problems and you need to be able to talk about that with someone who's a professional. So therapy, which is why the Church Pension Group is so good at therapeutic, you know, mental health. And also having a spiritual director, which Rachel, you mentioned. If you don't have a spiritual director, go find one. There will be some that will do it for free. There will be some that, but it is well worth the investment to talk to someone just about where your heart is when it comes to God at any given time.
And I think which where your heart is for me, Lorenzo, and also the thing that is coming up for me, and hopefully this isn't too much of like Rachel's personal journey coming out in front of the world, but we're just going to go for it.
let's do it.
Like, that learning to differentiate, because I, especially as a young person coming into the church, in a leadership role, I know that I felt and both definitely witnessed a lot of pressure to be like, okay, you're the thing that's going to save the church. It's probably why on some level I got involved in Tri-Tank experience to try to stop Rudy burnout. Like, let's be real about it. There's just a lot of pressure for anybody in the pews, but especially for young clergy coming in, because you got to not only keep the ship afloat the way it's been going. And if you switch the 8 o'clock service from right one, you're just going to hear about it for the rest of your life. And you have to innovate and do new things, like switching the 8 o'clock service from right one to something different. But if you don't do that, you're going to hear about it. If you do it, you're going to hear about it. So there's just a lot of, so what's been helpful to me as I've been sort of, groping around in a dark room, trying to find a light switch. That seems to me how parish ministry is in a lot of days, not all the time, but a lot of time, is to remember that it is not my job to save the church. I could not save the church. That job's already been taken and it's been done well. So really my only job is to show up to the best of my ability as a person of faith who can point other people's eyes to Christ. And that's it. And that has changed the way I schedule things in my planner. That means that prayer is my number one priority. I'm not trying to be an event planner anymore because the church doesn't need an event planner. The church needs someone who's available for people. I'm also not afraid to claim my Sabbath time at all because I can't be available if I'm not present myself. So it maybe sounds trite, but that's been what has kept me in ministry from years 5 to 7. And I hope it keeps me in ministry for longer.
You know, this is, I think, why it's important though to have a conversation partner, Because on the days where we feel when, oh my God, I've let everyone down and the church is going to fail because of me, or the church is going to close because of me, or they thought I was the savior of this, you know, congregation because I was a young person and maybe I'm married to have kids. And everyone thinks that that's the panacea that will cure every congregation's problem. If you just have a young clergy person with kids, every other kid in the neighborhood is just going to rush to the church, which we all know that's not true. So being able to have someone, though, when you're in the muck, when you're in that mud, looking for that light switch, it is sometimes hard to remember that it is not your job to save the church, that it is that it is okay to fail as long as we've been. The only thing that we're called to do is to be faithful and loving, right? And when you're in it, it's hard to. So having someone that can be like, hey, yo, Rachel, you're not, the sooner you resign as manager of the universe, the happier you will be, you know?
Yes. Oh my God, my husband is not allowed to listen to this episode.
And the happier you will be if you just don't listen, if you just don't, you know, stop trying to fix everything. It's like, oh, I'm human too, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why we highly, you know, bringing it back to being with, but like, we highly recommend it being peer to peer as opposed to it being sort of, that's like one of our biggest recommendations is rather than having diocesan staff come in, because as soon as you do that, the power differential kind of just leaps and people go, all right, here's what I'm really thinking, but I can't say those things out loud because I don't know, take your priest license away or the, you know, whatever the thing is that you think is going to happen in that moment. And you start thinking about the right answers instead of what's honest and true in your heart. And I think, you know, when Rachel was quoting how we did get someone who said that this was the program that kept them being a priest, it was because they could be honest with a whole bunch of other people who are honest and say those really deep, important things to one another. So they didn't know, they knew that they weren't alone and they knew it was okay that they were feeling these things. And it didn't mean that they had failed as priests, and it didn't mean that tomorrow they were going to feel that way necessarily. But that loneliness is really important to take care of. That peer-to-peer relationship is so important.
And for anyone who's listening, by the way, the Being With program is free. It is available online. You can be trained to do it now via videos. You can be trained to do it from the folks in the UK. The times are convenient enough. Convenient, I'll use air quotes for that, enough. For those of us who live on the West Coast, it's a little bit early, but you can still be trained in person and live. And the program is just a vulnerable experience as a whole. So even if you just go out and find four other people, you can do the program yourselves. You don't need someone to do it for you. You don't need someone from on high to come and say, you should do this program. You can, today itself, you can just go online, being-with.org, find out about the program. You can get all the materials. Reach out to me. I'll help get you the materials. It's easy enough to do. And sometimes just even taking that one step, going back to the person sitting in that car, right? Even just taking that one step, saying like, well, you know what? I am going to write to Lorenzo@tritech.org. I am going to write to Lorenzo and say, could you get me the materials for Being With? I want to be a part of that. I need to do it. Then at least there's just a little bit of light at the end of that tunnel, if you will. There's a program that I know has worked and is being it's available, and I can just find a couple other people. Maybe on the Discord, some people may take it up. Some of the people who gleaned so much from it and during the experiment, maybe they can become facilitators for others of the program. You know, going into the future for this. So there's, I think all of it is to say, you're not alone. The whole premise of the Being With program is that you're not alone. You're not isolated. God is with us always. And we just have to find the people who are going to be with us along the path. Any final thoughts on this?
I have a kind of a bummer one.
Go for it.
You know? Go ahead, Rachel.
This has been the confessional, you know, the episode, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, it feels very Lenten. That sometimes stepping away from ministry is exactly what is needed. Like,
that is true.
That is okay. Mm. So I just felt like making that explicit was important. That it could be every decision that we make is not, well, most of them, are not irrevocable. And so if there is a person in a car who's like, I cannot go on like this, then quit your job. If that's possible, like then change it. Because I mean, the good news is, at least for the clergy, there are lots of openings in the Episcopal Church right now.
Oh yeah.
So it's not as if there wouldn't be another option.
This is true.
So that just also feels important. Like, obviously I have had a couple of points where I could have chosen to leave the ministry. I took some breaks. I did some weird stuff in the Episcopal gig economy. Mo is nodding because we walked through it together.
We walked through it.
And I'm back in parish ministry, and I am having the most fulfilling experience that I never thought I'd be able to have in a parish. So sometimes taking a little step to the side is exactly what's needed, and that is totally fine.
Yeah, discerning that is might be exactly where God is calling you at this moment, and keeping in mind that ours is a fluid God. You know, if you think that, but God wants me in this, and you're like, but I really need to take a break, and you take a break, it's like God's gonna be right there with you. It's like, yeah, let's do this new thing. Let's be the best, whatever we're gonna be in the world. You know, and if we, so yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a one. You know, it's funny you said that was a downer, but I think that's a wonderful place to end in, a place that says it's okay. It is okay if the answer is, I need to step away.
Yeah. I think I was just going to say, God loves you. You are not alone. And that's it.
And exactly. Even if that aloneness is leading you to walk away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it from the other perspective. If you're feeling this, mm-hmm. people in the congregation feeling as well, how present can you be to them if you're burning out, if you're so
100%
just showing up? It's kind of like when someone's like, I'm really sick, but I'm still going to go to work. It's like, you know, we appreciate it, but this is not really helping us anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and at some point I think that can happen as well. Rachel Field, Mo Letterman, thank you so much for joining us, for doing this experiment with Tritank, and for being who you are in your ministries. I am truly appreciated. I am very grateful for both of you.
Thank you. Right, we're grateful for this chance. Yeah, it's been wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And we will see you soon. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe and be sure to leave a review. To learn more about Tritank, visit tritank.org. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter where you can keep up with all of our experiments. The Tritank podcast is a production of Tritank in association with Resonate Media. Tritank is a joint venture between Virginia Theological Seminary and General Theological Seminary. Again, thanks for joining us. I'm Father Lorenzo Labrija. Until next time, may God bless you.
Do you have something to say? Are there people who want or need to hear from you? Have you always wanted to start a podcast but don't know where to start? Welcome to Resonate Media, where our mission is to amplify you. At Resonate Media, we focus on helping underrepresented voices and aspiring podcasters get started by providing equipment, expertise, and experience to help you launch a podcast. To get started, visit ResonateMediaPro.com. Don't let the confusion, complications, and costs of hosting, recording, editing, and distribution hold you back. The world needs to hear what you have to say. Resonate Media can help your voice be heard.